What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with you, Brody, with the virtual handshake?
I'm going to tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want All the Smoke.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. We got a very special guest today, man. One of my favorite players in the league right now. The number one, if not... one of the top, if not number one, I think is between him and Kittle out in San Francisco, man. But welcome, Travis Kelce, to the show. Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, he is a Super Bowl champ, so you got to give him the title right now.
Hey, Super Bowl I appreciate champ. That, man. It always makes it sound like I did something in life when you throw that tag on there like that. Man, yeah. I appreciate you.
You put that title on the end now, but you definitely put in work. So tell us what present day life is. You know, the world saw the NBA bubble. The success, the NFL obviously chose not to go with the bubble, and there's been some canceled games, there's been some played games, guys have caught it, guys have got over it. Adam Silver said a while back, the commissioner of the NBA, we're just going to have to learn how to live with this, and it kind of seems like that's what the NFL is doing, just, you know, learning on the fly.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say I appreciate you guys having me on, man. I'm a big fan of the show.
Love, bro.
A lot of the conversations you have, man, have been inspiring.
Appreciate
as well as,
that.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Informative, man. And, to talk about the NFL and what's going on with life right now, man, it's just to work and to the house. That's really my entire routine right there. I just go to the facility and come back home. I'm fortunate that I got a lot of people to help me out around the city, around the house to make sure that I'm, you know what I mean? I got an unbelievable chef. That's going to the grocery store and making sure that, you know what I mean, I'm getting my nutrition and stuff like that. And everybody's just being accountable. And that's exactly what you were saying about the commish mentioning that it's, you know, we're going to kind of have to live with this for a little bit and try and make things work. And I'm just proud of the NFL. I think right now it's been a very successful season. I mean, of course, there's been the hiccups, but we all knew that was going to happen, man. It's just everybody being accountable in what they're doing. And it's not just, you know, in-house and in the facility. One mistake could screw up everybody's chance to, you know, earn their paychecks in the NFL this year. So everybody just got to keep maintaining what we're doing, man.
What's the hardest part about all this, if there is one? Obviously, you know, you work to the house, and normally that's low-key how it is during a season. But what's kind of been the hardest part about this process so far now that it has to be so strict?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is balancing out the time with the family, the time with the friends, making sure you're still maintaining somewhat some distance, knowing that anybody could have this virus and not show it. And you know, even though we are getting tested, sometimes it takes longer for somebody to show up on a test, mm-hmm. you know, and there's so many different variables to, you know, the equation of what is COVID and how to be, you know, quarantined and stay safe out here. There's so many different variables that you have to hold into account. And it's just what it's doing is it's kind of making me be standoffish with the family and the friends. And it's the worst thing. That's the worst thing that that I could do, because I'm such a family guy. I'm such a friend. I want all my friends around. I ended up grabbing a suite at Arrowhead because I wanted that environment after the game, being able to celebrate and hang out with the family and friends. And you know what? It's just it's not that right now this year. And it's definitely a different feel going to and from the stadium.
Absolutely. Well, someone who has, you know, been around African-American culture pretty much your whole life, swag. Some people might say you have some black in you because of the way you carry yourself.
For sure.
You know, with the injustices going on with the shootings, we just saw a shooting the other day in Philly with a mentally ill man and his mom begging the cops not to do it, and they shot him right in front of her. What do you think about the current climate of America right now?
Honestly, I try and think very positive about things, and with all the unfortunate things that are going on in the world and in this country specifically with you know, the injustices, the certain events that have led to deaths. I just think it's extremely unfortunate. But what it's doing is it's bringing the problem to life to everybody, and you're being force fed it, and that's kind of, I hate to say it, but that's kind of how white America is going to have to handle this. It's just, you know, because it's such an uncomfortable situation for a lot of people that just don't understand. And you're just going to have to open your ears, open your hearts, and listen to what's really been going on that, you know, a lot of people have just, you know, let happen. And for me, it's calling out the BS. It's seeing wrong and calling wrong what it is, and letting that be known. And sure enough, I think the world is a beautiful place, man. There's a lot of hearts out here, and I think it's going to continue to get better and better because, you know, I'm a big supporter and a big believer in people want to do the right things. Mm-hmm. And what's right is right, man.
I think at the end of the day, what's happening now is like you said, the same thing with how NFL players are doing with the COVID, being held accountable. I think we're holding everybody accountable now. Anybody that stands on the side of hate, you can't hide behind closed doors no more. You know, you got people allowing those type of people that have hate to come out and stand in the front line, and we see their faces now. But they understand, too, that it's more people that stand on the side of love, and we pushing these people with hate out. And that's what I love about it. Everybody's being held accountable.
Exactly.
And people from all races that's on the side of love, they understand that now is the time to stand together in order for us to live in a better place.
I'm with you, man. Holding everybody accountable at all costs. And that's something that I think has been unbelievable in the NFL is that, you know, it's becoming a huge discussion. I believe every single team had at least 3 days during training camp where we took 2 to 3 hours at the end of our day to really sit down and talk about these matters, talk about what it means to be an African American or a minority in America, and the views that can be subject to them. And it's just it's a beautiful thing because it's creating the conversation. It can be uncomfortable at times, but it, you know, this isn't a comfortable world. You know, some of the best things that I've ever gone through in life, you know, were some of the roughest times of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for those opportunities to come across my life and turn me into a better person. And I think that's what's going on right now in America, for sure.
Well, a lot of people don't see this, too. We talk about the African-American problems, which is a big part of it. But when I've been going to these neighborhoods, Trav, and I've been going to give back and help the people that need, it's all races. It's all races. A lot of people from all races that's struggling in these areas that need help and need people to know that they care about them, and we hear them, and we need to be their voice. So people need to understand that side too. Yes, it's a big problem with them killing black people, but at the same time, when you go to these areas that where they need and we giving back, it's every race that need.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think what's important too is, I mean, growth is uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Anytime we're trying to elevate and get to the next level, whether it be in life, sports, business, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think both you guys made great points. Right now, at the end of the day, it's not even about black, white, brown. It's about everyone versus hate.
Unity.
You know, because all races have hate. And hate comes in every shape, form, and color.
Facts.
And that's what we have to band against. You know what I mean? So the one positive, you know, there's been several positive things. But, you know, watching Jack out in the streets and kind of watching stuff and seeing stuff and being involved, the one positive, one of the main positives I took from is that you see every color of the rainbow out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, Travis, it's something that has to be force-fed. You know, I don't know if things would be as effective, and this would have reared his naked head if we weren't in this pandemic. You know, we've been forced to sit our asses down, watch the news. You see it across social media all the time. You're talking amongst your, you're talking amongst your teammates. You know, I mean, it's a real reality check. It's a real look in the mirror. Being a white star athlete with a platform, what are some of the stuff you're trying to do? Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a part of, I don't want to say it's a part of the job. It's just a part of life, standing up for the right things, calling out the BS when you see it. I've always had that mentality. It's the mentality my father gave me as a kid, and the community that I grew up in is so multicultural, and so it has so many different social classes in it. It was a beautiful family of a community of different ethnicities and social classes. And I feel like if the world had a little bit of what I grew up in, you know, an experience that you could take from one of my best friend's mother being from India and his father being an American black man, Irish and black descent. It's just, it's such a cool, unique, that's just one of my friends. I mean, it just goes on. And, it's so unique of a place that just gives you a broad mentality on appreciating someone else for who they are and their culture. And how beautiful you can be prideful of where you are and appreciate someone else's. And what I just try and push in on my platform and around the Kansas City area is, it all comes from power, right? I hate to say this, but systemic racism, the world that lives inside, politics. I think the initiative to vote, and it's not necessarily the main guy, the president. It's not necessarily that. It's the little things that you can do in your community, the small initiatives that you can vote for in your community that can really change not only your life, but the people around you's life that you know might need that helping hand. You know, voting is such a underappreciated as I was growing up. Through high school and college, I just think it was very underappreciated, and now it's starting to really become a must and a job for everybody to get out and vote for the right things.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Normally, the NBA is kind of taking the lead with social justice reform, players using their platform and speaking out. But we're obviously starting to see it a lot more now from the NFL, which I think is a huge step because, you know, the owners, for the most part, have stand on pretty much the exact opposite side of players on a lot of different things. And they've kind of kept you guys from expressing yourself. But it seems like, you know, obviously now, but maybe in the last year or two, you guys are really starting to find your voice and your footing. What do you contribute that to?
It's the guys that paved the way, that stand up, that you know what I mean, that want to see change, you know, and it's unselfish change. It's knowing that, it's not necessarily affecting me as it is more so affecting the whole of the NFL. And I think one of the initiatives of the new CBA that we just grabbed was some of the guys that are, you know, the big name guys are going to get paid, you know, whether it's guarantees or not is a different story. But we wanted to really make sure that there were more secure ways for guys to make money and keep money in the NFL, even if it's just like you're a special teams guy or you're a practice squad guy, you're somebody lower on the charts that doesn't have that big time contract yet. We really wanted to make sure that everybody had the same benefits and that those guys were getting a better opportunity to make more money than what they were getting. And I think that's one thing that we definitely got done with the new CBA. And it just keeps going up from here. It's a 10-year CBA, and hopefully in 10 years we'll be in discussion with an even better opportunity than we came into it with. And, you know, that's how things just, you know, keep going up. As long as people care about, you know, not necessarily themselves, but the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NBA has been real good at this, especially with the social justice side. They really let the players take over and really speak their minds. If the NFL can or anyway, what can they learn from the NBA or take away from how the NBA handles things?
Well, I think one of the things the NBA does the best of is they push their players in the right way. Mm-hmm. They shine light on the players in the right way, and I think that's something that the NFL has definitely taken note of, and given you know more players the opportunity to get out from under the mask and into somebody's living room.
Mm-hmm. In the right light though,
mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you know, it's done right in the NBA. I mean, it's very, it's friendly, it's loving, and it's very meaningful and it's powerful. And you know what, it's almost like the NBA is preaching family to everybody in America. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a beautiful thing to be a part of that organization. And it's been the model. It's been the model of consistency. And that's why culture is driven by so much in basketball, because of the way the NBA and the players in the NBA have been able to touch the hearts of America.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, obviously, with Cap taking a knee in 2016, I think, obviously, if you didn't understand or didn't get it back then, you understand in 2020 why he took the knee. What has kind of been the energy in the shift, in your opinion? Because obviously you were in the league in 16 and the knee was met with mixed reactions. It was hijacked by the president. It made out to be a bad thing. But you just mentioned earlier in the interview, you know, earlier in training camp, you guys were taking 2 or 3 hours a day, a couple days a week to kind of talk about being black in America, being a minority in America. And I'm sure that didn't happen back then. So what kind of energy have you seen change in the past 4 years when it comes to stuff like this?
I think what happened back then was so new that, well, I wouldn't say so new, for the fact that he was kneeling was new, and you people can go nonstop about whether the anthem was something or not. They were getting in to the minds of America to try and switch the narrative. And it's as clear as day that was never the issue, was the anthem. It was always the fact that it was a black man kneeling for the anthem, and that white America wasn't appreciating that. And I think now it's very well known why he was doing it, and that it's being attacked. And the NFL sees that, and they're trying to do something about it. And you know, a foot forward is all you can ask for, and the mm-hmm. opportunity to change the minds of those that you know. Need a better understanding of what's going on. You know, that's all you can ask for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Travis Kelce, Super Bowl champ. What does that mean to you?
Man, it's just prideful. It means, you know, I've done something with my life, with the guidance that I've gotten in my life, with all the people that have supported me through my life. I've gotten somewhere that they can be proud of, that I can be proud of. I'm so... I'm so prideful in where I come from and the people that have helped me along the way. I know I didn't do this alone. And to have a title like that with the guys that I did it with, man, it means the world. And all it does is it makes you want to go and get another one and keep reaching success like that.
I think it's safe to say that not only did your quarterback take the league by storm, but took the world by storm. What has it been like working with him and developing the chemistry you guys have to make you one of the top duos in the league now?
Oh, man, it's one has been fun, man. As soon as he walked in the locker room, you could tell that he had, he had the charisma. He had the ability to relate to everybody. He's not a shy dude, but at the same time, he's very open with who he is. You know, he's not gonna shy away from anybody or keep to himself. You know what I mean? He's here for the moment and he's here to have fun. And but at the same time, his professionalism took over once we were out there on the field and in the classroom or in the work or in the offices and stuff. And from that point on, man, you knew it was gonna be we were gonna have some fun, but at the same time, the way he slings it, man, I'm gonna have to figure out exactly what he's thinking. So this entire time, I've just been, you know, trying to get to know him on the field so that I can be in the right places at the right time. And that's basically my job, is to paint a picture for him, for the quarterback. And, uh-huh. and as much chemistry as I can build with that guy, I'm trying to get into his mind so that I can make his job easier, which in the grand scheme of things, will make the game easier for our team.
Y'all done that fast.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. That's why.
Yeah. I mean, it holds true in basketball. You know, one of the closest teams I was on was with the team with Jack in 2007 with that We Believe team. And we were a team that kicked it on and off the court. Obviously, with circumstances different now with COVID, do you get a chance to really hang with someone like him or some of your other receiving mates to really kind of get that off the field vibe as well?
I wish it was that easy, man. We've had some times where we just hung out, you know, especially before the season, a little bit during training camp and stuff like that. But because of COVID and the situation, the NFL has actually clamped down on us being able to hang around each other. Because if one guy gets it, you know what I mean? They don't want a lot of us around each other for a long period of time. So they actually told us that we couldn't hang outside of the building with three or more teammates. So it's like they're really putting us in a little mini bubble in our own cities. But, I mean, we're making it work. It is what it is.
Yeah.
What you got to do is you got to enjoy, you know, on road trips, you got to enjoy the plane rides, stuff like that, the bus rides to and from the game, the evenings that you have, you know, in the hotel before the game, you know, you try and, you know, catch a game or enjoy a few conversations at dinner, you know, things like that to keep the mood light, you know, because whenever you're at work, it's all work. You're focused on the task at hand. You're focused on trying to get the game plan right and things like that. It can get, you know, a little bit too routine in the building. So making sure that, you know, you keep it light and have some fun throughout it all, knowing that most of the guys are just going to the facility and back home every single day.
What's it like being the hunted now? Obviously, Super Bowl champs. You had a tough loss in 2018 to the Patriots in the AFC Championship. Come back and beat my motherfucking Niners. Like I said, I fuck with you, but it hurt my heart that you took it from my Niners. What's it like from going from the hunted?
Excuse me, a thief in the night.
Yeah, I pull up and give her. Yeah, that's what it is.
But nah, man, what's it like being the hunted? Team, yeah,
that was a battle, man. That was my team, and you know, you guys did your thing. You know, you guys had a knack for coming back. That's your guys' MO, and you guys did that, and you handled business. But what is it like now being the team that has a target on your back every single night, knowing that, hey, shit, this team's only won one or two games in the division, but they know they're playing us. You know, I got a chance to play on a Warrior team that was like that. No matter who we played, every night we got their best effort. What is it like now having to carry that target on your back?
To be honest, I don't feel too much of the pressure of living up to being a Super Bowl champion, like in that respect. I feel like if anything, the Super Bowl just gave us confidence that, yeah, this is us. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. This is what we do. I thought the loss to the way we lost to New England, everybody knew we were going to be a good football team. Everybody knew that they had to bring their A game to beat us, because we were one play away from being in a Super Bowl. And I think, you know, as the season goes on, you get more focused on the little things, and you try and, you know, perfect the weaknesses and strengthen everything that you're doing positively in the game. And it's just it's a nonstop battle to better yourself. Mm-hmm. So you just have to have that mentality and know that, you know, this is what we do. I go out here and I play football, and I play it with these guys next to me to a level that, you know, I feel like we have the advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's just the mentality that you have to have going into a game.
How's it been adding Le'Veon Bell to the fold?
Oh, man, I don't know how our GM keeps pulling a rabbit out the
that's
hat,
crazy.
Man, and just making stuff happen, man. But Le'Veon Bell has been unbelievable since he's been in the building, man. You want to talk about being kind of stuck in the routine of things, and I'm not saying, I mean, it's still early in the year and everything, but you can get caught up in just coming into work and seeing the same faces. When he came in, and it's just a different jolt of energy. He came in ready to work, ready to figure out this offense so that he can make an impact right away, because he's excited to be in a winning football or at least a program that, you know what I mean, can exploit his success.
You said it right. Winning football. I mean, that shit, you got to think, he's extra fresh too, you know, with an injury plague season and then not really playing that much. To me, he probably has something to prove to himself and to everyone else. Like, you know, don't forget that I was the best running back in this league before I went to the Jets. You know what I mean? So, no, you said it absolutely right. I think that kind of, you know, that's like going to the Spurs or going to the Warriors or going to the Lakers. When you, you know, when you have a chance to go from the gutter to the penthouse, you want to raise your focus, the level mm-hmm. of your game, everything you possibly can, because, you know, you want to be a small part of something great. And I think it's a unique opportunity for him to be who he is and be able to, like you said, come to a team like your guys is. That shit is crazy.
Oh, man, it just up the ante, man. Just take it to a whole nother level. And I was talking about his energy, and you could see in the first walkthrough how he's jumping around and he's got almost what looks like fresh legs. I don't know how much he was running over there in New York, but it looks like he's got fresh legs, like he's a young dude all over again and just ready to get after it. And, I mean, that kind of energy is infectious. You know what I mean? When you see a guy with high energy, man, you want to play to that level and you want to meet that level. And because it is what it is. When you're playing one of the best teams in the National Football League and you see that they're ready, you see that energy pregame, you see them coming off the ball early in the game, you know it's going to be a dogfight. And a lot of guys get a little uncomfortable in that dogfight when they see that other team is going to bring it and it's the top dog with it. So it's just it's a mentality to just bring it every single day and have that grit, have that dog in you to go get it.
Man, I think as an athlete, it's no better feeling than knowing you got guys or how many of your teammates you have that taking it serious. You know, you got guys that come out here and ready to do the job. Everybody on the same page. Everybody have the same goal to win. And when you get on a team like that, when I went to the Spurs, the feeling of winning, the feeling of everybody taking their role serious and all having the same common goal to win a championship, that is contagious, bro. And I know he feel that in that locker room.
Mm-hmm. It's, like you said, it's contagious, man. It's contagious. And when it really means something to you, that's when you can take it to a new level, man. Mm-hmm. And it means something to him right now. You can see in the way he works.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So a Westlake boy, Westlake, mm-hmm. Ohio, a three-sport star in high school, football, baseball, basketball. I played everything as well going through high school. When did you decide to, or did you play everything up until your senior year when you had to start trying to pick what you were going to do next?
Oh, yeah. So first off, I got a funny story about Westlake, Ohio. I'm from Cleveland Heights, Ohio. When I took going into the NFL so serious that I thought when I was filling out the form for the NFL.com stuff, I thought that I had to put where I was, like the hospital I was born in. So I put Westlake Hospital on there. I thought they wanted the government information. So that's how silly I am. But I'm from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and they just put Westlake up there. So it is what it is. Shout out to Westlake and everybody, but I'm from the east side of Cleveland. To answer your question, though, man, I still wish I could find my way onto an NBA team for a quick 15 days, 10 days. I love hoops. I'm actually wearing the old school. I don't know if you guys were part of the old school Gatorade Hoop It Up. Back in the day, that was life right there. But for me, growing up, I played every single sport you could think of, man. I was going from hockey practice to basketball practice when I was in like fourth, fifth grade. I was playing baseball just about year round, hockey year round, soccer year round. And when it got to high school, that's when I really had to, you know, narrow it down. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. I knew I knew my school was more tailored to a basketball school, as we had won state in 97. It had a good track record of guys going to college for free, playing hoops. And, you know, that was something I knew, you know, my grades weren't the best. My effort in the classroom wasn't the best, so I knew I had to, you know, excel somewhere else if I wanted to go to college for free. So it was it was definitely basketball. Yeah. Football were the main two in high school. I had more offers and it just felt more comfortable for me to stick with football. Even though I did go to Cincinnati to play both football and basketball. I never saw the court. I practiced a few times and got into a few summer games. But outside of that, man, you only saw me cheering for the hoop squad. But I think it was an easy transition because I initially went to college to play quarterback. So I went to the University of Cincinnati to play QB. And my first year I redshirted, second year, our coach Brian Kelly, who's at Notre Dame now, had a package for me that to be the Wildcat. And man, when I tell you, he came up with this the week before our first game, all training camp, two-a-days, nothing. I'm just trying to work on my three-step game right, like I'm a rookie, like I'm a fresh meat in the pocket. And sure enough, he puts this package together and wants me to straight run the ball. And the game came around. We went up, I think, like two scores, and the third time into the red zone, he threw me in there. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, he's not even going to call this. And he throws me in there. And I remember being so scared. My brother is actually playing left guard at this point, which is ironic because he's lead blocking for me. So I'm catching the snap, reading the defenders. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm handing this thing off. The first time I'm just letting him ride. I'm like, hey, I'm in this thing. I'm a freshman in this college football game like I always dreamed of. And man, it just didn't feel like I was ready for the moment. And then once I got my feet wet for one play, man, I was ready. I was like, oh, all right, I can do this. I see how everything kind of just slowed down a little bit. And and that's when I really felt that I could take the game and turn it into something, you know, that I could do for the rest of my life. Because everything, once it all slowed down and I could get into the zone, I had the confidence to be able to just play instinctually. And I made the transition into the tight end room naturally. So because I was doing the Wildcat stuff, the coach wanted me to kind of be on the field so that we can, when you sub players in and out in football, the official actually waits. The offense can't snap the ball until the defense, you give the defense time to switch their personnel. Mm-hmm. So if you keep a certain personnel on the field, they have to keep their personnel on the field. So it's one of those things where he wanted me on the field so they could stay in a certain personnel so that I could run the ball as well. But doing that meant that I had to play a little bit of tight end. And the success I found with tight end, man, it took off in college. And, you know, I just been so grateful that I got the opportunity at such a young age. I didn't wait till later in my college career to make the transition. Yeah. It was just it was something that I really found a love for the game when I moved to tight end.
How big were you at the time when you were playing the Wildcat quarterback coming out of high school?
I was a big dude. Now I told you I redshirted, man. It was once you redshirt as in college, man, it just turns into a party central, man. I wasn't taking the workouts too seriously, and it ended up hurting me a little bit going into training camp. I wasn't ready for it going into training camp the next year, but I was still about 6'5", 250, 255.
Damn,
I've always been a pretty big quarterback. I went into my freshman year of college at about 235.
Okay.
So I was always a little bit on the hefty side.
To make that decision, I mean, you know, quarterback is probably the most prominent position on the football field. And then going to tight end, you know, you're not the star, as they would say, on the football field. But how long did it take for you to make the decision to go to tight end? Like, was it just instant as soon as you had success?
Well, I was always kind of in between the two. You know, I love the physicality of the tight end position, the football position. That's why I like running the ball so much at quarterback, or I loved running the ball so much at quarterback, was because I could lower my shoulder on somebody and get an extra few yards. And when I turned that mentality into being a tight end, one, I realized I got to hit the weight room. My body can't be taking all these hits like this, and I got to be able to be stronger up top and in the legs to be able to block these DNs that are 270, 280 pounds. So it was a complete change of mentality to sitting up in a pocket, but I still had that physicality that I grew up with playing hockey and lacrosse and being the little brother, being able to take a hit, blindside, take a hit, things like that. The traits were easy to transition, and then you take the ability to, you know, play on the court. Be able to go up and grab a rebound, be able to grab an alley-oop and take it off somebody's head. Things like that, the athletic ability that transferred from the court over, and then the ability to track a baseball, the ability to go deep and run down the sidelines and track a ball flying in the air. All these different sports helped mold me into the tight end that I am today and the success that I have today. If you watch a lot of my routes, it looks like I might have a rock in my hand, like I'm crossing over. I didn't have that on the court. The handles were suspect on the court, but it looks like when I'm moving, sometimes I'm using an in and out crossover, you know, things to kind of get somebody to step one way. Because in football, it's a game of inches. All I need is this much separation. Because when I'm reaching for a football, I only need about 5 to 6 inches to a foot for myself to get my hands on it before you do. And then once it's in my grip, it's mine. Mm-hmm. So it, having that mentality of, you know, being the boss on the field, but at the same time having, you know, a slick way of running your routes and manipulating way to you know, get the defense to think I'm doing something else, man. That's the game that I play.
I think you made an amazing point, and I hope that our, you know, the dads are listening and the kids are listening to this, actually parents overall, that you said every sport you played made you the player you are today, and I felt the exact same way. You know, I was All-American football, played baseball, obviously All-American basketball, but I took the toughness from the NFL. That's why, you know, I was playing football. I felt like I was a football player playing basketball. Like, I'd never shied away from the physicality or anything like that, but I really feel like I took, you know, the hand-eye of baseball, the physicality of football, and allowed me to play 15 years in the NBA. And I think too often now, parents are vicariously living through their kids, and it's one sport year round, making it a job at such a young age. So I think it's great. And I try to preach that, man. I think all the sports hone you in, and you'll find what sport is yours eventually, but all those other sports you play along the way are gonna help you develop into hopefully, you know, the professional athlete you aspire to be.
I'm right there with you, man. Playing every single sport definitely helps you out. And then having the mentality of, you know, I'm a big believer, and there's a lot of professional athletes that could have chose another sport and been just as successful, if not even more successful. Having the grit and the mentality of getting better at something and finding that routine. I think at a young age, I never really understood how to create a routine of success. I didn't understand going to practice what these jump shots really meant. I didn't understand what these dribbling the skills, the in and out of cones and stuff like that, what all these fundamentals were going to mean on an instinctual decision on the court. I didn't understand all of that at a young age. But it really took off for me when I moved to the tight end room, because I was like, oh, all right, how do I play this position? Let me look at some of the greats. Let me look at some stuff online on what people are saying, you know what I mean, are teaching these tight ends at a young age, the fundamentals, the basic fundamentals. And once I started to really get into those fundamentals and finding that routine of success, everything took off for me. My love for the game took off because I was having so much success with it. And I think that's something, if you have a knack for being competitive and being on the athletic field, court, rink, whatever it is, find that routine of success. And even if it's something that you're doing just minimal, you know, finding that routine of just walking home with the basketball in your hands, holding the football to your chest when you're walking through the hallways. Little stuff like that creates instincts. We're all creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. It creates these little instinctual things that just hold on to the ball a little bit tighter. Being able to, when it hits a crack, being able to grab the ball with your intrinsic muscles in your hands, just things like that, that you naturally just you don't think will make you that much better. But over the course of time, it makes you that much greater.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
With the constant improvement, you know, from being a third-round pick, constant steady improvement every year to being the prototypical hybrid tight end. You know, you're too big for DBs. You're too fast for linebackers. You're the new age of, you know, of tight end. What does that mean to you, considering you went, like I said, on, you know, arguably the best in the game because of the other shit that, you know, honed you growing up to become a tight end?
Yeah, I am. Well, the first thing is, you know, I think a lot of people try and build the stereotype of a tight end. Like, oh, he's big. He can run a little bit of routes, but he doesn't have the whole route tree. And in my mind, I was watching the wide receivers run routes, and I'm like, oh, I can run that route. Mm-hmm. Just give me the opportunity to run it. And that's the biggest thing as a tight end is getting that opportunity. And I have so much appreciation for what Coach Andy Reid has done in terms of my success and trusting me with winning these one-on-one matchups, being open for the quarterback, mm-hmm. having the full route tree in a game plan to make the defense second guess and have to play a reactionary position. All of that goes into account to who I am as a professional. And without a coach being able to put me in these situations, I'm not the same player. And the biggest thing is I've taken mentally my game to a whole nother level by not letting myself get boxed into what a stereotype player would be. You know, I think nonstop, you have to keep trying to find a way to get better. And that's why I watch everybody in the league, everybody, all the tight ends. Whenever I turn on the film, I'm watching and whether it's the third tight end over in, you know, Atlanta or the starting tight end in San Fran, I'm watching to see what they're doing to have success and how I can implement that into my game, knowing, you know, especially if it's something that's dominating.
seeing that you study your opponents, obviously study your peers from your position, coming into this space, considering you are a hybrid, did you watch more receivers or did you watch more tight ends that you looked up to and kind of patterned your game, or was it a mix of both?
Initially, I watched the tight ends, and that was just creature of habit, creature of the position. I was watching Tony Gonzalez. Once I got to the league and I really had access to the film all over the league, I started watching Tony Gonzalez during his prime years here in Kansas City. I started watching a lot of Shannon Sharp. At the time, Rob Gronkowski was taking the league by storm, so I was watching a lot of him and what he was doing. Jimmy Graham had a unique ability to get open in the red zone and play the game. Yeah, exactly. Play the game at a high level, knowing that he just transitioned into the position. So I was looking at all these guys. And then on top of that, when you watch the film, you can't help but to see where the ball goes. So throughout film, I started watching, you know, just everything, watching guys run routes, doing wide receiver routes inside. And from that point on, I mean, just going up to the players, the quarterbacks and the coaches and saying, hey, why don't we throw a little slant and go out here? Why don't we throw a little corner and go? Why don't we, you know, work this route inside just one time and see how that looks? Letting them know I feel comfortable with running these routes and getting open for you. And I think like I already said, a lot of my success goes to Coach Andy Reid. But being on the same page as everybody in this offense is definitely something that has made me a better player.
Dope.
Toughest matchup.
Oh, man. I mean, that Super Bowl was pretty intense, man. The Niners, man, they're no joke. That defense that they had last year with the D-line.
They got a D, too. Hell yeah.
You just saying that because you're a 49er fan, man. Get off the gas.
Hey, but he even knows our front four was nice as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, and just the overall scheme, man. The defensive coordinator is one of the best in the league. He teaches it very well. He makes sure that it's everybody's sound. Like, the biggest thing about the outside world doesn't know much about football is that everybody on the football field is playing defense has a gap in the run game. So the gap between the center and the guard, a D tackle might have or a linebacker might have, you know what I mean? And for a defense to be sound, everybody has to be able to fill a gap and be able to, you know, make their tackle if called upon. Mm-hmm. And I think what San Francisco does an unbelievable job of is in terms of zone coverages and rushing the quarterback and making sure that their defensive run game is on point. I mean, everybody seems to be on the same page over there, and that's why it's so hard to put up points on them, because they take away the deep threats, and they do very well. They're very good job of underneath kind of matching up to everybody. So it's just that defense was very underrated. If it wasn't, you know, praised as one of the best in the league, and I think that was definitely our toughest matchup. But you can never look past. You can never look past Baltimore. Baltimore's got a great defense, and if you don't get on top of them early, it's going to be a long day because Lamar's going to be able to just take his time downfield and create huge plays. Who else? You know what? I'm looking right now at the Bucs, man. The Bucs are playing great football with a veteran football team. Great coaches, and it's all new. It's all new. A lot of it is it's hard to scheme up new things. That's why you see a lot of immediate success out of some players because it's so brand new. You don't really know their tendencies and things like that. But as they play longer in their career and longer down the season, they start to get schemed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they move higher up. They move higher up the scouting report.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Transitioning, you did a show for our network Showtime, Moonbase 8. How did that come about?
Man, honestly, I don't even know how it came about. I think they needed a football player, somebody with a tougher mentality in the kind of like the Moonbase 8 of the characters that they were putting together. My name came across the board, and sure enough, they picked it. I don't know how the heck I got picked. I didn't really do too many. I didn't do any audition for it or anything like that. I just kind of showed up, and here I am sitting there looking at Dale from Step Brothers right in the eyes. I was like a little kid in a candy store, man. I was admiring. It was like the real life show. And John C. Reilly is, he is funny, unbelievable. Bro, he is so funny. Unbelievable, yeah. Dude. He's an awesome guy. All three of the characters, and all three of the guys, the main leads in that show, they were just, they were awesome. They were helping me out with everything, knowing that I was a rookie in the game. I had no idea what I was really doing. But I had a whole lot of fun listening to those guys and watching those guys be professionals, man.
Dope. You're also on featured on E's show Catching with Kelsey. If you ever need a wingman on a show like that, holler at me because I'll definitely come through and, be that support. With that, is not looking ahead, obviously you love what you do, but, you know, we're more in an era now of, you know, life after sports. And more than ever, athletes are in other things as they're dominating their one particular sport. Is in front of the camera or behind the camera an interest of you for your post-career?
I, without a doubt, I'm keeping all the windows open right now, or all the doors open right now. Venturing into a few different areas. The fashion world is one of them. I have a clothing brand, True Colors, just a lifestyle brand right now that I'm trying to build. We got some fun releases coming up soon, but I think whether it's fashion, talking sports in general, I can see myself talking football for the rest of my life, but I kind of want to venture into all sports, mm-hmm. Knowing that I have a love for all competition, man. Everything from golf to tennis to, you know, hoops, you name it, man. I'm in it, man. I love to be around the sporting atmosphere and talk and shoot the stuff with everybody, man.
Being such a high profile athlete now in this day of social media, do you find it tough trying to keep up with it, balance it, block out the negativity, benefit from the positivity, and just social media as a whole?
We know you popping IG too.
you got to make sure you're pushing the right material and the right content,
right,
baby.
It's just
one. I think it's enjoying the people that you share similarities with. So jumping on shows like this where I can relate to guys, you know, appreciate both your guys' opinions on things, and pushing the right content. And I think what people don't really understand about athletes and people with following is that there's once you get to a certain following, the comments just start going. Mm-hmm. They take their own road into whatever leads. You know, you could post a picture about football, and out of nowhere, here comes somebody talking about your relationship. So it's like mental health is something that is very real.
True.
To people with a following, and it's because, you know, you want to care about what somebody's saying about you. It's just it's in my nature that I want to be loved by everybody. I'm mm-hmm. a fun loving guy. It is what it is. On the field, I could care less about who I'm going against. That's the mentality I have on the field. But as a person, I want everybody to appreciate, you know, who I am, because I represent a lot of people from back home that are prideful of that.
You know, we're in an era now where I was actually just talking on ESPN earlier today about Michael Jordan saying he doesn't think he can handle this social media era if he was playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think social media has been the greatest gift and the greatest curse. And the reason why it's the greatest curse is just because there's so much negativity and jealousy and anger and bitterness. And like you said, people think because we're athletes that the shit people say doesn't get to us or doesn't affect us or doesn't bother us. And it's furthest from the truth. I mean, obviously we have to block it out and do a job. But at the same time, you got people talking shit about your kids, talking shit about your girl, your ex-girl, something you did. I'm like, God damn, like, okay. Or another thing, like, would you really say that to my face? Like, if someone's going to talk big shit on Instagram, everyone thinks they're Mike Tyson on Instagram. Like, to me, just don't say nothing you wouldn't say to my face. Like, I respect you say it to my face. I might do something, but just don't say shit that you wouldn't normally say. And I think that's, unfortunately, a society we live in where, as great as you are, you guys are Super Bowl champs, there's still people that just want to talk shit to you to talk shit to you.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying like, man, you're a hell of a tight end. You guys are a great fucking team. It's harder for people to do that now. It's so much easier for people to hate. And it's a sad position and a sad state of affairs that we're in when it comes to that.
It gives everybody opinion. Oh, yeah. It gives everybody opinion, Trav, but also it gets to the point, like you said, all we can worry about is the message we giving out. We can't really worry about what people say, because people are going to say all type of things. But as long as our message is clear, they're going to twist it regardless. But All we can control is our message. And as long as our message getting off is the right way, then that's all you can't control, especially these days.
I'm right there with you. My brother had a fun time when he won the Super Bowl, and for the parade he dressed up like whatever that is over there in Philly. I forget what it's called. But he said something in his parade speech that resonates with me. He went down the line of everybody that the media pointed out all their flaws. Mm-hmm. The media was talking about, oh, the Eagles can't win it. This guy does this. He can't catch the ball. He's a terrible blocker. You know, things like that. And he went down the list. He named everybody's flaw and said, that's what this guy wrote about everybody. And you know what I said to him? Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck him all. Yeah,
straight up.
You know, just straight up. I'm not trying to hear none of that. We reached the mountain peak and got crowned king, and you can't say anything about it. And and you know what, sometimes you just have to block it out and just tell them fuck them, and that's the mentality that you have to have. I used to at a younger age in my career really care about all of that to a certain extent, and it used to get to me a lot, like and I would get frustrated out on the field not having the success that I thought I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I wasn't living a fun life, and mentally you have to be able to find happiness in what you're doing and block out a lot of the negativity that's going on. And mental health is such a huge part of being an athlete.
Huge,
especially in today's game.
Right.
Yeah. Coming down the home stretch. What's the mission of 87 and running?
87 and running. Our mission is to help out as many of the kids in Kansas City and Cleveland areas, and that those are just the two areas that I'm focusing on right now, being from Cleveland and playing in Kansas City. Right now I'm just I grew up as like I said, in a very multicultural, very diverse area of a social class, so I understood privilege at a young age, and I understood how many you know, different walks of life are really out here, and how I can appreciate that, but also appreciate, you know, what my family is doing to provide for myself and my brother. And the way that my father and my mother were kind of that adult and that guidance for a lot of other kids because they didn't have that, it made me understand that, you know what, I need to be able to lend a hand if I'm given all of this fortune, if I'm given all of this all of this opportunity that these other kids aren't getting, you know, and whether it's due to failed school levies, not having the extracurricular activity, not having the band, not having, you know, all these extracurricular things within the school to you know, just not having the ability to go out and get a glove. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to make sure that all the kids in this city have at least an opportunity to get into something. And that's what 87 Running is all about, is making sure that underserved kids around both Kansas City area and Cleveland area are given the opportunities in life that can help give them success.
Really dope, man. We appreciate your hard work, man. Let us know. You guys are the best, man. It's vice versa, fellas.
It's vice versa,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure. Are we going to take you up on that? I'm going to get your number. I'm going to fuck with you, for real.
You already know, man.
All right, quick hitters. Here we go. Top five. Your top five artists.
Top five artists. Oh man, he took it there. Golly, man. I've been finding all old school stuff, man.
Hey, whatever you want right now.
Shout out to Casey's old school Bloodstone, man. One of the most player bands that I've heard recently that wasn't at the top of the list when I initially started getting into this, finding all this old school music.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Kansas City zone, so I got to give them a shout out. I'm all over it with music, man. I could go forever, man. 21 Savage is popping right now. Golly. Threw me on the spot. I can't even think of one specific. Justin Timberlake's always been a favorite, man. I can always go back. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear his new stuff when he jumps on. And then Drake is always a favorite, man. Anything he throws on, I end up finding a way to dance to it and move to it. And then I'll switch up the genre. Let's go. Chain Smokers, man. Those are my guys out there. Okay. LA-based, I believe. Actually, I think they're actually East Coast-based, but they're out in LA right now, man.
Mm-hmm. Favorite sneaker as a kid?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot again. Golly, I would say as a kid, the Back to the Futures were just, it was everything to me. And that's why when I actually got my first check in the NFL, the first thing I did was go online and try and find the Back to the Futures in my size. I got drafted in 13, and they had just came out in 2012 or 2011. I forget which one, but man, when I saw the movie as a kid, it blew my mind away that these things were even being created, and then the story behind it and the fact that it was helping out Parkinson's disease. Just everything about it, man. You know, with the sneak, it's all about the story. Yeah, but I could give you 90s kick references all day, man. I was playing in the Jordan 14s when I was in fifth grade. I threw the black laces in them because I thought I was sweet.
Nice.
the candy cane 14s. Yes, oh, man. It goes on and on, though, man. I'm a huge for me, fashion all started for me in the 90s because of the kicks wave, man. The Barclays, the Jordans, the Pippins, you name it, man.
That's what's up.
When we ask you this question, you got to help us get this guest. Who would you like to see on All the Smoke?
Woo! On All the Smoke.
Could be a teammate, could be an opponent, could be a different genre of life, period.
Man, I'm gonna keep it in the box and go Tony Gonzalez, man. I would love to hear your guys' conversation with the greatest tight end to ever play the game, man.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be deep.
He's got the basketball background. Like, as you know, he had a training camp with the Heat when he was he was younger.
He went to Berkeley. He went right out of Hebrew. Where I was raised. He went to Cal Berkeley, so that's right out my way. So that was someone I looked up to because he was doing it at the highest level, or college at least, mm-hmm. on both sides. So that was a big motivation for me.
Tony G. You know, the biggest memory I got of Tony G as a kid was NFL Street. NFL Street Volume 2
on the
N64.
That game was dope as shit.
Oh, yeah. Man, and I used to play with him every single time. That's where I knew the tight end position could be dominant. I was like, okay, this Gonzalez guy, man, I got to watch some more Chiefs football, man.
He's a monster. Hell yeah. Last question right here. We know you got to get running. 5 dinner guests, dead or alive.
Man.
This is a good one.
RIP Kobe, man. I had a very brief opportunity to say, you know, how much I appreciated his mama mentality in terms of like having that, being able to incorporate, something like that into my professional, mindset. So Kobe would definitely be one of them, RIP. And then, from there, I'm a huge Outkast fan from growing up, so Andre 3000 I would definitely throw in there, man.
One of the most underrated ever.
From there, dang, man, I know this is supposed to be quick, but golly, I can't even think this fast, man. throw a fun guy in there like Charles Barkley, man. He's one of my favorite guys to be around. It electrifies the room every time he walks in it. And never met Jordan, man. I might as well just get the dream team, man. Just bring the dream team on and then we'll figure it out from there.
Straight up.
Larry Bird. I grew up in Cleveland, man, so I heard the legend of Mark Price, man. So you might as well throw Mark on there and keep it moving from there.
Nice.
That's dope, man. Well, Travis Kelce, man, we appreciate your time. Best of luck the rest of the way.
Yes, sir.
And
let's get that signed jersey.
Pleasure.
You already know we'll get it ASAP, man. I'll get it to you ASAP. Yeah. It'll be a Super Bowl jersey, just so you know.
Yes,
so
don't leave me, man. Yes, sir. Appreciate it, my boy.
You already know.
That's a wrap. We want to thank our guest, Travis Kelce, for his time today. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube in the iHeart Black Effects platform. We'll catch y'all next time.
Peace.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.